So we are currently in our series, Not of This World, How Do We Live Faithful in a Noisy World? And today's sermon title, I've titled it, The Cost of Being Different. And over the last few weeks, we've been learning what it means to live in the world without being shaped by the world. Who knows that that's what we're here to do, not be shaped by it. Week one reminded us that who do we belong to? Who do we belong to? Jesus, thank you. And then week two reminded us that we are citizens of heaven. And week three reminded us that the Holy Spirit leads us in our everyday life. And today, we need to talk about something that, frankly, it's real in all of our lives. It may even be something that's a little bit uncomfortable for you, but it's necessary. It's required. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't bring this forward this morning. And if we are truly not of this world, if we are not of this world, there should be tension. There should be a tension there. And Jesus, he does a great job. He prepares us for all of this. And if you have your Bible this morning, I just ask, would you turn it to John chapter 15? And I hope you have your Bible. If not, maybe somebody next to you has one that you can share with. It will be on the overhead as well. And why do I ask you to open your Bible when it's going to be on the overhead? Because I want you to learn where it's at in Scripture. I want you to know where to turn. And if a conversation happens, you know where to find it in your Bible. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 27. And while you turn there, I want to just speak from a personal experience because I think personal experiences are best. Who has ever traveled to a foreign country? Okay. Who has? Okay. Let me backtrack this. Brayden, how different was Ames from New Sharon? Culture shock, almost, right? I graduated from Sigourney. I went to Ames, and I remember my first day on campus, there were students holding signs protesting something with duct tapes on their mouth, and I thought, what crazy did I just walk into? What is this? And if you've ever been to a foreign country, you know that things are not like home. So we were on a cruise just a couple of weeks ago, and everybody knows our kids, Caden and Caleb, and their kids. I made sure as we were getting off the ship to tell Caden, I said, buddy, you're in a foreign country now. What you do here absolutely matters. And I think I said it so much, and so he was terrified to step foot into Costa Maya. But I explained to him that things aren't the same here as it is at home. Now, imagine if you will, let's just think about this. Imagine that we went in and we just assumed that the language stayed the same. We would be very surprised to find out that in most places, they don't speak English. They speak a different language. So the language was different in Costa Maya, wasn't it, buddy? The language was different. Their values were different. Literally, they've got these guys that climb up like a 150-foot pole, four of them just tied on with the rope. They sit on top of these like 2x4 arms. It never will pass OSHA, okay? They sit up there and they spin. They push their feet on the pole and they wrap it. Has anybody seen this? Does anyone know where I'm talking about? They wrap until it gets completely tight. And then some guy with like the spinner drum thing that didn't, you know, your kids had it when they were little, and a fiddle or a flute or something. He was playing, the other one was playing. They hang upside down by their feet, tied to a rope, and they just spin in circles until this whole thing unwraps. And they're in full Mexican, like I think it's Aztec type styling costumes. Craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. The values are different. And would you know that sometimes our jokes, our stories don't land the same way that it would for them? Missions trip, Guadalajara. The church worked so hard to make us a meal. I don't know what kind of soup it is, I thought it was poison. I took a bite. My face said everything because Char looked right at me and she said, you're going to eat every bite of that because they made it for you. And it matters what your response is. I had just a little bit of soup and it's the longest I've taken to ever eat soup. The habits are unfamiliar. How many of you have been to Mexico? How many of you walked into a bathroom without lid on the toilet? Show me your hands. I need to know that people are aware of this besides just me. They don't use lids generally in public because you know why? People steal them. So the toilet is literally just a hole that you are supposed to hover over and do your business. I know that got graphic. I'm sorry. And it's not that their culture is wrong. It's not that it's different. It's just different than what we are used to. So there's a tension when we travel out of the country. We know that we've got to keep our P's and Q's. We've got to make sure that we're respectful and we don't do things that would go against their culture. And it's not that I'm wrong. It's not that Caden's wrong because he wants to go into Costa Maya. It's not wrong that we want to go and do stuff. It's that we've got to understand that we no longer belong to the old system. We no longer belong to where we came from. Yes, we still belong to it, but we are visitors in a foreign place now. Why does all of this matter? If we were to continue to live the way that we did, even though we're in a new country, eventually, conflict is going to happen. Things come to a head. If I disregard how they pay respect to elders or to women or whatever the case may be, if I just continue to act like eventually they're going to accept my old culture and they're just going to let me be who I am, there's going to be confusion and there's going to be conflict. When you change citizenship or when you visit another country, guess what? You change your alignment to match theirs. That's why you're sitting here and not in a Mexican jail somewhere without no toilet lid on your toilet right now. Because we understand that we need to change alignment. And Jesus explains this very clearly in John chapter 15. And here's what he's doing. This is part of Jesus' final conversation with his disciples before he goes to the cross. He's preparing them for opposition so they don't lose heart, so they don't stray, so they don't relax. And so that's where we find ourselves in our scripture this morning, John chapter 15, 18 through 27. It says this, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus says these very words to his disciples the night before the cross. These are his final moments with the disciples. And so when he talks about the world hating him, it's because he knows he's about to walk straight into it. He's about ready to see the world's full hate executed on him at the cross. And he wants his disciples to be ready for what following him will bring. He just told us, they hate you because they hated me first. If they persecuted me, you should expect they will persecute you. As this conversation unfolds, you likely saw a progression. First, he reminds them that the world hated him first. He tells them that they no longer belong to the world because he chose them out of it. And he reminds them that a servant walks the same road as his master. And we'll look at that a little bit closer here in a minute. And before he finishes, he promises the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with them and will help strengthen them. And by the way, this tension, this is not new. This tension has existed from the creation of Adam and Eve when the first sin was committed. From the beginning of Scripture, there have always been two ways of living, two allegiances. Does anyone know what those two allegiances are? First one is on God. It's a life that is centered on God, and then the other is the one that opposes God, a life that resists God. And that conflict, you'll see, runs all the way through Scripture. If you open and just read through, you'll see that conflict is always head-to-head throughout Scripture. And what Jesus is doing here, he is helping his disciples understand that when they follow him, they step into the same story that he's walking. And he says the same thing to us. We need to understand we walk through the same story. And that brings me to my first point this morning. The world hated Christ first. The world hated Christ first, John 15:18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Again, Jesus says this, knowing he is hours away from the cross. The disciples will soon watch him arrested, watch him mocked, watch him beaten. Let me just tell you, when I was an early Christian, I remember one night in my apartment in Pella reading Matthew. And in Matthew's account of Jesus's going before Pilate, the Roman soldiers, they did a couple of things. They put a cloak or a sack or whatever. They covered his eyes. You know what they did? Does anybody know? They punched him. Just ransacked him and said, "Prophesy who just hit you." Jesus had a beard. Scripture tells us he had a beard. For all my beard guys in here, the Roman soldiers grabbed his beard and pulled it out, plucked it from his face. They crafted a crown of thorns, and they impaled his head with it. It paints a picture that I know is not great, but I need you to understand the disciples are about ready to watch all of this happen. They're ready to see their Christ beaten, mocked, bruised, stabbed, nailed to the cross. And he is preparing them before that happens. You need to be ready in case this happens. So the world, what we know, the world doesn't just simply misunderstand him. We know at the end of the day, it doesn't come out as just some grand misunderstanding. No, they totally rejected him. When Pilate puts them in front with Barabbas and says, "Do you want the killer who's killed many of you, or do you want the guy that just claims to be the Christ, the Messiah? Which one do you want released to you?" The world hated Christ so much that they chose Barabbas to be released and Christ to be crucified. Jesus knows well what it means to be hated by the world. And then after the resurrection, we see the same pattern of hate towards Christ and his followers. The same pattern follows. Peter and John, they're arrested in Acts 4. Stephen, he is stoned in Acts 7. James is killed in Acts 12. They were not persecuted because they were careless, because they made mistakes, because they showed up to the wrong town or the wrong meal to share Jesus. It wasn't because they were careless. It was because they would not stop preaching Jesus. So now, look to your life. Are you persecuted? If not, ask the question, are you preaching Jesus? Are you preaching Jesus? If you're not persecuted, maybe we need to reevaluate and preach Jesus. This is what Jesus meant. And it's very clearly, when he says this, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And now for us, it may not mean that we go to prison. It may not mean that we are stoned to death. It may not mean the things that it did to them and still does on that side of the world. But it may mean this. It may mean that there is some tension at work. Who's ever had tension at work? Yeah? This may mean that there's tension at work because of your faith in Jesus. It may mean awkward family or awkward silence at a family gathering. It may mean that people question what your convictions are. It may mean that you lose approval in your community, in your family, at your job, because you refuse to compromise on the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you need to know. You shouldn't be surprised by any of it. What did he just tell us? It's going to happen. It will happen. And so what we need to understand is they rejected Christ. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised and we shouldn't expect anything different. And here's the truth of it. Sometimes following Jesus, sometimes obedience will cost you. Sometimes it is costly. And our impact statement on this today is faithfulness isn't always comfortable. Faithfulness is not always comfortable. But Jesus does not only say that it will cost you, he says you do not belong here, which is our second point this morning. John 15:19, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus does not leave the disciples guessing what tension will come. How many of you have heard me say up here, following Jesus is the best decision of your life ever? Not only is it going to make your life infinitely better, and then I always put the side note in. I didn't just say that it's going to make your life easier. I said it's going to make your life infinitely better. But the road is still going to be hard to travel. This walk that we're on, this faith walk, is going to be something that is, we're faced with tension every single day. And Jesus doesn't leave this out there for the disciples to wonder, why is this tension coming? And it's simply because they belong to him. It is because they belong to him that this tension comes. Because if they still belong to the world's way of thinking and living, they would feel at home within it. Go back to the beginning. If we are truly not of this world, guess what? There should be a tension in our life. And so if we belong to the world, if we still belong to their thinking, their living, how they did stuff, we would feel at home within it. We would feel affirmed because we would reflect the same values and priorities that the world does. But Jesus says, you are not of the world. I chose you out of it. And their allegiance has now shifted. They now belong to him. And that change of allegiance meant a change of values. When you move to a different country, you adopt that country's, or you should adopt that country's values. They could no longer blend in with a system that resisted the authority of Christ Jesus. They would not stop proclaiming the name of Jesus simply to protect themselves. Their loyalty had been settled. They understood that they belonged to Jesus, and now that loyalty shapes how we live today, what our response is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. When you are transferred into a new kingdom, you do not continue living as though nothing has changed. Your priorities begin to reflect your new king. And I've said this before, you cannot come to church, have an encounter with Jesus, and leave completely unchanged. If so, you have rejected Christ, or you have not encountered Jesus. when belonging to Christ becomes more important than maintaining approval. So that means I don't go out and party with my buddies like I used to, because that Christ released me from and I shouldn't be doing it anymore. It means that I am more worried about what Christ thinks about me than what my buddy's approval thinks about me. And you begin to see the difference. You begin to feel the difference in your life, your choices. When obedience shapes, when a relationship with Jesus shapes your decisions, when conviction starts to influence your conversations, it starts to guide you, tell you to hold your tongue sometimes when your tongue needs held. When your loyalty to Jesus affects how you carry yourself, how people see you, how you see them, the tension you experience is not accidental. It is not on accident that this happens. It's because it grows out of who you now belong to. And that's Jesus. Our impact statement for this one is belonging to Christ reshapes your life. And who knows that that should just be true 24/7. Belonging to Christ reshapes your life. And when that reshaped life brings pressure, Jesus reminds us what it means to follow him faithfully. A servant follows his master. John 15:20, remember the word I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. He reminds them that a servant does not walk a different road than his master. If they hated him, they will not treat his followers any better. Which is why we still have conflict. This is not a warning meant to frighten the disciples. Instead, it's an invitation for us, for them, to stay faithful to him. The disciples would face pressure like they never imagined. They were tested on everything. They were arrested. They were threatened. They had loss. Some of them gave their lives, and yet they did not walk away. Why? Because they had already settled in their life who their master was. They settled in their life that they belonged to Jesus. And when you settle that Jesus is Lord, you stop measuring your life by comfort. I don't know about you, but I prefer to have a lid on a toilet. That's comfort. Right? It's comfort. But for many of our missionaries that are overseas, spreading the gospel, they're walking into countries where they have had to count the cost and say, I have to leave the comfort of the United States behind because Jesus is Lord in my life. And I have to say yes to what he has called me to. It means that we stop seeking after approval. Guess what? Who can I speak to that's going to understand this without offending? Tim, you are never going to be perfect. Sorry, Stacy. Caleb, you're never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect on my own. But Jesus says, hey, let me help you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, let me change and transform your life. So instead of measuring whether we're comfortable or we need approval in our life or how easy things are for us to do, we start to measure it by our faithfulness to the Lord. Hebrews 12 says, looking to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that they may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, Jesus endured rejection without retaliation. He did not retaliate. He endured hatred without compromise, saying that's the big thing. Like, you go over to the Middle East, and I know there's a conflict happening right now, and we're not going to go there today. But what I want you to understand is that Muslims believe in all of their heart that Christians are wrong. And they have been told that they should kill the Christian if the Christian does not reject Jesus. How many of us have faced death because of our faith in Jesus? So Jesus didn't compromise when the hatred came. He didn't compromise. He endured suffering without surrendering his obedience to the Father. And then he calls us to follow him. So what does that mean? That may mean that you lose approval. It may mean that you stand alone in a moment where you know that this is what Scripture says. It may mean that you choose obedience when compromise would be easier. But you are not following a comfortable Savior. What did he just say? I'm not following a comfortable Savior? No, no. We are following a crucified and risen King. The same one that promises to part the sky and to come back for his faithful church. And courageous endurance is how we say he is worth it. Our promise of eternity to be in his presence forever is how we say he is worth it. We follow Jesus even when it cost. So if the world hated him first, if we do not belong to this world anymore, and if a servant walks the road of his master, then the question now, frankly, it has to become personal. Are you willing to follow him when it costs you? Are you willing to follow Jesus when it costs you everything? This is not a theoretical question. This is in life. Following Jesus will shape your real life decisions. Following Jesus has an impact on how you decide things. It'll shape how you speak when everyone else stays quiet. It will shape what you laugh at and what you refuse to laugh at. It will shape how you handle relationships, conflict, ambition. It shapes whether approval becomes your master, I'm working after somebody's approval, or does Christ remain my Lord? There's going to be moments in your life that blending in would be easier. Going with the grain, just so you don't stick out, and you're not a splinter, you're not that sore thumb to somebody, it's just easier. There's going to be times when moments of staying silent would protect your reputation. There's going to be moments when compromise would cost less in the short term. And in those moments that I know a lot of you are already facing on a day-to-day basis, in those moments you will feel tension of belonging to a different kingdom. But listen carefully. That tension is not proof that something is wrong. That does not mean something is wrong. That tension proves that you are walking with Jesus faithfully. Jesus never promised an easy life. He promised himself. He didn't promise an easy life. He promised that losing your life for his sake is how you would find it. He promised that those who endure to the end will be saved. He promised that doing nothing for his name is wasted. Courageous endurance does not mean being loud or harsh. It means being steady. It means loving well without bending the truth. It means holding conviction without losing compassion. And it means staying faithful when it would be easier to step back and hide in the shadows. You do not have to fight the world. It is not your job to fight the world and go for a righteous conquest of the world. It's just our job to simply refuse to belong to it. Because your life quietly will declare, if you choose that, your life will quietly declare, he is worth more than approval, he is worth more than comfort, and he is worth more than reputation. And that is how we live, not of this world. That is how we live life's pointing people to a different king. And this is how we continue to engage our community for Jesus right here in New Sharon. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me this morning? Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father." Who is in heaven? Following Jesus is not a quiet confession or a quiet agreement. It's not a personal, quiet, hidden thing. No, instead, following Jesus is a public confession. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. And if you're here today and you have never confessed Jesus is Lord, or you know that you've been living divided, you've been jumping between lines of not of this world, of this world, not of this world, right now, this is your moment today. You cannot, you will not, you do not belong to two kingdoms. You belong to one or the other. And so this morning, if you're ready to declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord in your life, I want you to respond to him this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if I am speaking to you this morning, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to respond, would you raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Praise the Lord. Church, here's how I want to close today. This is for all who claim to belong to Jesus, who belong to Christ Jesus. Then it's about adding a little bit of courage to it. Some of you know well the tension that I've talked about today. Some of you know where obedience is going to cost you in your life. You maybe have a decision right now that you need to make that is prompting you to consider whether it's better to be obedient or to step away from it. And some of you right now maybe have felt the pull to stay quiet, to stay comfortable instead of speaking up. Today, I want us just to take a moment to take time to settle it today. For the believer who needs courage to stand firm, for the believer who needs strength to remain faithful when it will cost, for the believer who just needs more of Jesus, my message to you this morning is come. Come to the altar. You're not here to ask for comfort. You are here to ask for more courage. Church, as Stacy leads us, would you come to be in the presence of Jesus at the altar?